This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
I'm joined now by Hannah Stevenson. Hannah is from Wales, although she currently lives in Liverpool, and she's kindly agreed to talk about her sight loss journey with us today. So Hannah, thanks very much for agreeing to do this. So yeah, you're going to talk about some of the challenges you've faced over the years and managed to overcome. I believe you first started losing your sight when you were just 8 years old.
Yeah, so I was born visually impaired. When I was 8 years old, the sight deteriorated in my right eye, but I still would be able to read print, like size 24 or something like that, walk around without a cane or a guide dog. And if I'm honest, I didn't even notice that happened because I used my left. But then my sight deteriorated in my left eye when I was around 13. And that was when it had more of an impact on me because they were saying, oh, you need to learn Braille. And I was like, learn Braille? You think I'm reading dots? And thought they were joking, but no, they weren't.
It's quite a scary thought for people to have to learn this new language. But you actually picked it up pretty quickly, didn't you?
I did pick it up quickly, and that was the main reason, was because I was coming up to my GCSE exams. So it's kind of like you didn't really have a choice. It had to be done. It was really useful for me, particularly in maths.
I don't know if you remember Perkins Braillers, but the technology since those clunky things that were very noisy, not very discreet, it's night and day the difference nowadays.
Oh, it is. And I used to have one of those starting in school, and I remember the teacher saying, Hannah, I can hear you're not working. I'd just be chatting instead. But then as soon as you got the computer ones that were so much quieter, I could just pretend to tap along on those and actually do nothing and nobody would know.
So, daydream.
Right? Yeah.
A tough time to lose your sight, 13 as well. You're just starting to make new friends at school and stuff like that. It must have been very difficult.
I think I've always been in a family that get on with it. So, okay, this isn't what we planned. This isn't what we expected. But there's always a way around it. And you know, you kind of find out really, you know, who the good friends are and what you can do to make the most of it. So I quickly learned Braille, quite quickly got a guide dog, well, within about 2 years, and then made the most of it, really.
And you're really into audiobooks as well. Harry Potter's a particular favourite.
Oh, yeah, it is. I absolutely love the Harry Potter books and just audiobooks in general. Like the Thursday Murder Club, always really enjoyed them.
You're a big fan of film and TV as well? You like watching audio-described films?
Yeah, audio description makes a really big difference, makes it a lot easier to follow. And a lot of my friends actually say they enjoy it as well because it gives them more context to the films, and sometimes it's actually quite funny and entertaining as well.
And you were quite sporty at school as well, weren't you?
Fairly. Like, I would never be on the running course, but I did used to enjoy things like kayaking or skiing.
So what happened when you left school? Did you go straight into employment?
I went to university in Liverpool.
What did you study?
Mathematics and special educational needs. And then I got a grad scheme programme with the NHS, so then did a master's in applied health leadership.
And then currently work as a manager in A&D.
I do, yes.
Yeah, what's that like? What's your day-to-day role there?
So it's an operational role, which means I don't have a clinical background, but I do a lot. They're almost the behind the scenes of an A&E, whereas, you know, staffing, we've got high weights in this area, or can we move those people over? Do we have the right skill mixes? And then it's a lot of also sort of finance or developing any new digital projects that we can put in to make sure that children are getting the best experience, because it is a paediatric hospital.
And in terms of having a visual impairment, how does that affect your role? Do you need any extra support in what you do?
So I make sure the softwares that I have are compatible with screen readers. We're now opening a new centre, so there's new databases there. So it is taking a little bit of time to adapt the new data styles and how they're going to be presenting those to us to make sure they're accessible for me. But I think what I've really learned is actually just be honest about it. I never used to really like mentioning it because I felt like you needed to sort of prove what you could do first. Doing that doesn't give you the chance to really show the best side of yourself. So just saying, visually impaired, I won't see that. Can you email it to me? Or people do a screen share on Teams that I can't access. Just send a message. Can you email it to me? And nobody really minds.
Yeah.
But it just means that you can do your job better.
It sounds like you've got a real get it done attitude. You just got on with it. It was great to hear your family have been a big support. But you have had help from a four-legged friend over the years as well, or a couple of four-legged friends.
Definitely, they have been absolutely brilliant. So sitting next to me here is Ozzy, my retired guide dog. So he came to me when I was in school, made a massive difference because I never liked using the cane. And I was like, as soon as I get a dog, I'm going to get rid of this cane. And it's just people, like, they make life just so much easier, because instead of trying to figure out where things are, even, you can just be, oh, find the lift, or different things like that. He's done airports, schools, Commonwealth Games, anything. He's absolutely goes everywhere. And then I've got Pepper now, who's brilliant. It just feels like you're floating through instead of sort of bumping everything. Dogs just make sure you get through faster, and people's perceptions of you as well are so much more positive because they just see a dog.
So what do you do in your spare time?
I really enjoy sort of wild swimming, coffee shops, going out for walks, helping some youth groups, and try going out on my tandem.
We talk a lot on the station about mental health and the importance of an active lifestyle and getting outside to meet people. It sounds like you do that in spades. What advice would you give to anyone going through sight loss?
I'd say just carry on with it. Anything that you enjoyed anyway before sight loss, there's a way that you can do it again. It might not be the same way, but there's a way around it that you can enjoy. And there's lots of things, even just Googling online, what you can do. You know, if there's help as well, just to get onto using screen readers, and people are usually happy just to give you a hand. Also, Apple iPads, they're always the easiest way to use your screen readers. And then get in touch with somebody like Guide Dogs if you feel like you need the mobility support. They're a massive help, and they can also point you in directions of other places that can support.
What are your plans for the future?
So I really enjoy being in Liverpool, so I'm hoping to stay in sort of like healthcare management of some type and just see how it goes. I really enjoy traveling, so I've done like America and Morocco this year, hopefully sort of Vietnam and a few different places next year. So that'll definitely be, I've got a travel bucket list.
Fantastic. Well, I wish you lots of luck with that. And how do people find out more about you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, Han Stevenson. They'd see a lot about Pepper there as well.
Well, we wish you lots of luck for the future. Thanks once again for coming on and sharing your story. Hopefully people will find it inspiring. In the meantime, Hannah, thanks very much for your time on RNIB Connect Radio.
Brilliant. Thank you.